Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. We've covered many adaptive sports for the blind and visually impaired on the show. They've ranged from golf to soccer. But what about tennis? Oh, yes. Today's topic is all about blind and low vision tennis. ABC News Australia reports that the sport is growing in popularity with the blind and visually impaired. Joining us to talk about what makes blind tennis different from regular tennis is Blind Sports Australia Chief Executive Matt Clayton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian.
Glad you're here. So tell us about yourself and Blind Sports Australia.
Yeah, thanks. I've been the CEO at Blind Sports Australia for just over 6 years. And Blind Sports Australia has been around for well over 20 years here in Australia. We work nationally as a national sporting organisation, working with a whole range of sports across the country. So we have around 23, 24 different sports in Australia that people who are blind or have low vision are actively engaged in. So, and with more sports coming on board. So, it's a really busy sort of period for us across the country.
Well, one of those sports is blind and low vision tennis. How do the blind and visually impaired play the sport?
Yeah, look, it's very much like traditional tennis. It's played on a standard tennis court with some adjustment to line markings. People who play use a smaller tennis racket and an adapted foam ball that makes a noise when it bounces. One of the main difference in terms of what people may see when they see the game is the fact that there are actually more bounces allowed depending on your site classification. So if you're a B1 or a B2 athlete, you're allowed up to 3 bounces. If you're a B3 athlete, you're allowed 2 bounces. And if you're a B4 athlete, you can have the traditional 1 bounce. And that's where the main adjustment to the game is. Apart from that, it looks like, sounds like a traditional game of tennis with a little bit of a rattle on the ball.
Speaking of sounds, what does the ball sound like when it touches the ground or moves towards the player?
Yeah, it's a relatively soft sound, but it's very much just a little rattle sound as it bounces. So it's relatively gentle, but it's quite distinguishable on the court itself. So being a foam ball, it makes it a little softer. So the rattle of the ball is quite determinant. So it's a little bit like a child's rattle in terms of that sort of sound.
That's what I thought. I understand that this sport went through a lot of struggles to get support on Australia. Why was that?
Look, it's probably less in terms of support, more around the fact that, as I said, we have a large number of sports in the country, and we're obviously a fairly small country with a population of around 27 million people. Certainly compared to the States, is quite small. So with that choice, it's almost, there are a number of really traditional sports for us. So traditional sports like blind cricket, which may not be a large one, obviously in the States, but, goalball, which has been a big traditional sport. So, with the evolution of new sports, it sometimes takes a little while for people to get on board with those sports. And obviously part of that is also having a coordinated approach to growing that nationally. So the game sort of started in the 80s and 90s in Japan, but sort of it started to evolve, and certainly in the last 5 years, it's really boomed here in Australia.
Okay, so Japan kind of started it and just suggested the idea, hey, blind and low vision tennis should become this special sport.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a passion of a gentleman from over there who really wanted to look at the sport and see how it might be adapted, how they could develop the ball and the game. From what I know, they had a real vision around being able to see that game grow and potentially become a Paralympic sport one day. So, certainly the growth, in the last, I said 10 years or so internationally has started to grow with a few more countries coming on board, but certainly the last 2 or 3 years has been an absolute boon.
One of the struggles was taking the long commutes to tennis clubs who were supporting blind and low vision tennis. That was just too much. What?
Yeah, look.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so certainly, look, the commute is something that we find is one of the challenges with a lot of our sports. So one of the big challenges has been being able to get more clubs involved. One of the upsides to being a sport like tennis are tennis clubs are in most towns, most cities, around the place, certainly in Australia, and I'd imagine the States as well. So for us, it's been about educating clubs and getting clubs involved to be able to welcome people who play the game in, and then also educate coaches. Half the time the battle is educating coaches to say, well, this is what we can start to coach people around. So that's been part of the struggle to be able to grow the sport, particularly at a local level. But we now see that as one of the great opportunities for us, is that we were able to work with clubs in regional and remote areas. And because you only potentially need one or two people with low vision to be involved, it's a sport that doesn't need large teams to get out there. So if we can get more clubs educated and aware, we can get a sport like that happening in places where we may not have other traditional sports going.
So these are some of the reasons, I guess, that sparked the sudden increase in the popularity of blind and low vision tennis. Any other reasons you think why the popularity of the sport has gone up?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, certainly being able to have a coordinated approach to it has made a massive difference. For us in the states of Victoria and in South Australia as well, they've been developing the sport for close to a decade or so here in Australia, and they've had some good success in growing the sport. But the ability to grow nationally for us has very much been building a pathway, and that's for a lot of people a really important part of that. Is as much as the sport's great to just be able to play with friends or at a local club, there are now pathways for people to take part in state or national events, but also to be able to go on and take part internationally. So certainly for a lot of our participants, they can see a pathway to be able to take part in a whole range of events, and people are now doing that, and that's helped. We now have Tennis Australia on board, who have really taken the reins in growing the sport and really investing their time and energy into growing the sport, and that's made a significant difference in terms of becoming a very national activity, and having those pathways come in place. And that's really been the difference for the last 2 or 3 years.
Let's take a break from blind tennis for a second. What other sports does Blind Sports Australia represent?
Yeah, look, in terms of sports we work directly with, it's sports like lawn bowls, goalball, blind golf, blind cricket, 10 pin bowling. They're some of the direct sports, and blind football as in soccer. But we then work really closely with other national sporting organisations here. And so the number of sports here in the country that people can get involved with has really grown over the last 5 years. So we have around 23 different sports. So that's everything from a sport like AFL, which for many people in the States would be a bit of a novelty. So Australian rules football. So that's the sport that's grown in the last 3 or 4 years. But then we were involved with archery, athletics, a sport called vision impaired table tennis we have here, cycling, equestrian, judo is a sport that's starting to grow here as well, through to rowing, sailing, shooting, as well as various winter sports and swimming.
Now, with the football, with the AFL, are you referring to like NFL football with regular oval football, or is this the football with the U and it's soccer?
No, so this is Australian rules football, which is very distinct, a sport that we have here in Australia, which is quite different to many other sports. So it's a very fast-paced sport that's traditionally played on a large oval, where people kick the ball, mark the ball, and use their hands to pass the ball in terms of what we call a handball with their fists. It's quite a tough sport, as opposed to the NFL. There's no padding involved, big tackles. So in Australia, it's a massive sport here in Australia. And we've been able to work with the AFL, Australian Football League, over the last 5 or 6 years to develop that into a sport that's been adapted for blind and vision impaired athletes to take part, and people love it. AFL is a passion here in Australia for many people. So the fact we have a really genuine outlet for people to take part in that sport now for people who have low vision is amazing. And it has big bumps and all the things that people in Australia love about AFL as part of that game.
Now back to blind and low vision tennis. I understand that not only are you going back and forth with the ball for an hour, but you also get to have fun and joke with your friends, right?
Absolutely. And look, that's the most important part of playing any sport, well, certainly from my perspective. And that's why I've been involved in sport for a long time, as many others have. It's very much about being able to spend time with friends and be active and enjoy being around other people. And tennis is one of those great sports where you can do that. Even when you play, you can have a joke and a bit of a laugh. And there's a lot of time spent on the sidelines. So that social aspect is such an important part of why people play as well.
And exercising and socializing together, I think, makes everybody stay healthy.
Absolutely.
Matt, I understand that there are all sorts of tournaments and championships for the sport all over Australia.
That's right. So certainly last year we had the first opportunity to have state championships in all of our mainland states here in Australia, which was the first time, which was amazing. So we have six states here in Australia, five of which are on the mainland island. So each of those held state championships, which were well attended, and we then had national championships, so which was our third national champs, which has been fantastic. We've seen really big growth in people travelling and going to those activities. So for some, that requires they've spent 4 or 5 hours on a plane to fly over to take part in events, and people love it. They just love that opportunity to take part in some really good competition, well-spirited, but yeah, very competitive. And that's also then led to athletes being able to go overseas last year and take part in world blind tennis events as well.
Speaking of events, pro blind and low vision tennis player Grace Hobbs participated in the Australian Open's All Abilities Day back in January. Tell us about Grace Hobbs.
Yeah, Grace is a fantastic athlete. So she is our number one ranked women's B4 tennis player. She took part at the World Blind Games. It was the World Blind Games last year for us over in the UK, and won gold medal and was the champion at that event in the B4 women's category. So yeah, a great athlete, an amazing person. So she has really grown as the sport has grown. So it's certainly helped her confidence and her abilities, but she spends a lot of time practicing and getting involved outside of her time working. So she's great. Grace is a young person who has a cochlear implant. So for her, the challenges are not only about around the vision in terms of picking up the ball, but also from an audible perspective as well. So, but she's been able to adapt and develop her game. And as I said, she's a world champion now in the sport.
How did she do?
Yeah, she did really well at the, with the exhibition games at the Australian Open. We had, four of our medalists from the IPSA Games take part. She more than held her own against in the doubles matches that were there. So, yeah, she did extremely well at the Australian Open. Those people who were there to see her in action were really impressed with the quality of her game. So, they weren't doing competitive scoring, but just to be able to demonstrate the games themselves, people were just amazed at how well she played.
How do you score in blind and low vision tennis? Is it like regular tennis?
Exactly the same. So the scoring system is exactly the same. So depending on the competition that's taking place, they may reduce the length of sets. So it may be first to four or first to five in terms of games. And that is often determined by how much time is available for the tournament itself. But otherwise, it's still exactly the same. So has juice, love 15, 30, 40, etc. So all the scoring is exactly the same.
And do you have also a referee or person who sits on the sideline and watches the action?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a chair umpire that takes part in each of the games. So exactly the same as a normal event. More often than not, that umpire will actually be based on the court, so that particularly for athletes who may also have some hearing impairment, it makes it a little bit easier for people to be able to hear the scores and hear what's going on. So rather than necessarily being up in a chair, they may be on the actually down near the net and scoring and adjudicating what's going on.
How do you decide the winner of the tournament? And do they still get any trophies or any special invitations to future tournaments?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a similar type scenario to what any other tennis tournament would be. So certainly with our state-based tournaments, there will be a round robin, and then the top-ranked players coming out of those round robins will go through to semis and to finals, and the finalists and winners will all receive trophies. They'll receive ranking points for national ranking points. So that if there are international events that come up, then those ranking points can go towards selection for people to take part in those events internationally. So, it works very similarly to how other tennis tournaments and tennis, rankings or tennis, achievements would take place.
Can you tell us about some other, great players in the sport and about their experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. So, certainly at the IBSA World Games last year, we had a number of really strong athletes who went over and attended, all with across a whole range of categories. So one example would be Mick Lee, who's our men's B3 men's champion. So he won gold in the B3 men's over at IBSA Games. So Mick also has a hearing impairment, as well as sight loss. So he's been able to take part in the game and grow it a lot around that. Mick was actually featured in a MasterCard promotion leading into last year's Australian Open, and which was amazing to feature himself and another young athlete, Courtney Webbeck, who played with Alicia Molik, who was a world-class player. As part of a MasterCard promotion, which actually enabled people all across Australia to be able to see the great abilities that our blind low vision tennis players have as they took on Alicia in a game, which is focused. Alicia wore blackout shades and tried to play the game with the ball and really struggled. Whereas Cindy Courtney and for Mick, they were able to really shine and show how they've been able to adapt their game to the particular way in which it's played. We then have another gentleman, Ross Patterson, who's our B4 men's champion. So Ross has developed a vision impairment over time. He's a principal at a large college here in Australia. So he's been able to adapt from being a regular tennis player into someone who's now playing one low vision tennis as his vision has diminished. But the ability for people to adapt from traditional tennis into the game itself is really highlighted through Ross. So, and that's something we certainly promote a lot, is that ability for people who do lose vision over time. And that's a significant number of people with vision loss, is that it's a game they can play for life, even if they do develop a vision impairment. And that's really important message for not only for tennis, but for many of our sports, that people can continue to play sports and be active post having that sort of diagnosis.
This is really good. Can you talk more about the sport's popularity in the US?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. And, I'm not overly aware of how big the sport is in the States itself, but I do know that a gentleman by the name of Murray Allborn, who's here from Australia, was competed in the Paralympics in the sport of goalball for over a number of years. Recently moved back to the States. His wife is from the States and has been working on growing the game of blind low vision tennis, which is sometimes called sound ball as well, in various parts of the state. So I know that he's been there for the last 12 months or so, and has been working to grow the sport over there. Also the president of the International Blind Tennis Association, Samir Mihir, is actually based in California. So there's actually some really good people around the sport who are now based in the States who are looking to grow the sports. Grow the sport itself. So there are more opportunities which will become available as time goes by.
Where do you see blind and low vision tennis growing 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now?
Yeah, look, I think for us, one of the great opportunities about blind and low vision tennis is the fact that it's a sport that can be played at your local tennis club. So the opportunity for us to be able to reach out to more clubs and get people involved has such a big upside. And one of the other great things about tennis is the fact that even with blind and low vision tennis, you can play that with one of your siblings or your parents or someone else, because they're still going to be using the same ball. So if you just want to be able to go out and have a hit, rather than playing competitive matches. So if you can still do that with your friends, but use the blind and low vision tennis ball to be able to have that hit, which is amazing and something which not a lot of other blind and low vision sports give that opportunity to. I know there's a great feeling amongst players here in Australia that they're really keen to see the sport become an essential part of tournament play here at the Australian Open in the next 5 years or so. And I know there was a trial of the sport or a demonstration, I think, at Wimbledon last year. So there's certainly a hope and a dream that the sport will become something that is linked in with the major tennis tournaments around the world. There's also a great push for it to become part of the Paralympics in future rotations as well. So from our perspective, look, it'd be amazing to see it come into maybe the Brisbane 2032 games here in Australia, perhaps, or post that. So that's a big vision that a lot of people are really keen to pursue and to push. So I'd love to see that over the next 10, 15, 20 years as the pathways that people have to be able to take part in those major tournaments. As much as it is for someone to be able to play with their family in the backyard or at the local tennis club or down the park where there may be a wall they can hit against, but they can do that with friends and family because they're aware of the sport and they know that's something they can play and they can get ready access to the equipment, which for a lot of time has been the big blocker as well. So that's our vision for the sport.
Bambi wants to play blind and low vision tennis. What should they do?
Yeah, look, certainly to understand the game itself, Tennis Australia have a really good website with information around the sport, how it's played here in Australia, and what can be done. Similarly, in the States, it might be worth reaching out to USABA and the US blind sports to be able to look at where their pathways may be to be able to get involved in the sport. So they may be linked in with Murray or with others, or similar to go to the IBTA website and reach out to Samir, who's based in the States. He'll probably understand what's happening in the States around getting involved in the sport. So there are more pathways which will come. A part of that is also having people who haven't be able to say, look, I really want to take on this sport. And that's because it is a sport that can be played anywhere. It's having that groundswell of people wanting to be interested.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Look, all I'll say is, blind tennis is and low vision tennis is a fantastic sport. For me, to see how the sport's grown and the real passion people have for it, it's by far our fastest growing sport here in Australia. It just takes a bit of groundswell and a bit of interest from people and it's something which can take off. But yeah, look, it's an amazing sport and we love it.
Well, Matt, thanks for coming on today and telling us about blind and low vision tennis.
My absolute pleasure, Brian.
Before we go, listeners, I welcome your comments on this program. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. You can also check out my website at speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com. More information on today's show is posted there. Just look into the list of episodes and show news tab. In my show archives, it's speaking-out-for-blind.pinecast.co. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Jeff Thompson. Grabbing specific text from an OCR app with usability in mind, whether you're in school or at work. Sometimes there's some text that you just want to grab from a document and share it or use it in some way, fashion, or form. So let's dig in.
Seeing AI. Right edge not visible. Hold steady.
I wanted to grab some specific text from a document and decided to use three of my favorite OCR apps on my iPhone. The three apps I chose were Seeing AI, Envision AI, and Voice Dream Scanner. What I found was All three apps gave me great OCR that I could copy and paste into an editor of choice. I chose Notes on my iPhone. The two apps that stood out for me, Seeing AI and Voice Dream Scanner, as I could use from my rotor the text selection feature and select the text that I wanted to grab whilst I'm in the app.
Scan result, heading, Operations Manual 13 Limited Edition 20th Anniversary Singing Bird Clock.
Now, I know there's a list down below, 1 through 12, the hours of the clock, and I want to grab that list, so I'll swipe down to it.
Important. Bird sound is heard. Setting your time.
Now, I'll just keep on swiping through this. I know it sounds clustered, but here we go.
Turn note, hourly sounds.
Hourly sounds. That's the start of the list, so I'll stop right there and go to my rotor.
Characters, words, lines, text selection.
Now, stop right there. Now, I'll flick up or down, and I can choose what type of selection I want to make.
Character selection, word selection, line selection, page selection, select all.
In this particular case, I want to make a line selection. So I'll go back.
Line selection.
And now, just by swiping to the right, I'll be able to select each line as I go.
Hourly sounds, selected. 1. American Robin, selected. 2. American Goldfinch, selected. 3.
And as
4,
they say,
5,
the benefits
6,
of editing.
7. 12. Bald Eagle, selected.
Now that all that is selected, I go back to my rotor and I want to go to edit.
Lines, words, characters, edit.
And now by flicking up or down, I want to go to copy.
Speak, copy.
And single finger double tap, and it's mine. Or at least into the clipboard.
Hourly sounds. 1. American Robin. 2. American Goldfinch. 3. Pileated Woodpecker. 4. Black-capped Chickadee. 5.
And paste it into notes. Or wherever I wanted to use that selected text. And in the Envision app, the text selection option in the rotor did not appear. Although I was able to export the OCR text.
Export button. Export alert. Save as .txt file button. Copy to clipboard button.
And paste it in the notes and proceed from there with the text selection as well. So all three apps worked well. For efficiency and my first instinct to grab only what I wanted, Seeing AI and Voice Dream Scanner were both flawless in my initial expectations for usability. So with that said, I did send Envision AI some feedback about what I found about the text selection feature.
Feedback successfully sent. Thank you. Okay. Button.
And since all three companies are great listeners to the community, I'm sure there'll be updates in the near future. So go grab some text that you want, use the app of your choice, and use it how you desire. Paste it anywhere. Well, not there. Hope you enjoyed this demonstration. Be sure to check out more iPhone 101s and Quick Bites on the blindabilities.com website and subscribe to Blind Abilities Podcast. That's two words, Blind Abilities, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed. And until next time, bye-bye.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes,
we can then begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations and the realities of blind abilities.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, download our app from the App Store, Blind Abilities, that's two words, or send us an email at info@blindabilities.com. Thanks for listening.